A vision of the world you can find in the book of Jonah, and also a vision of the heart of a man that needed some help from the Lord. Jonah chapter 3, we have covered the first two chapters, and I hope we'll get through all of chapter 3 this morning. If not, we'll pick up where we left off tonight. Jonah 3 verse 1, and the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not." God will bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Brother Kyle, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that you would bring that home, Brother Brent, Lord. Open our hearts so we can attend to your word.
Amen. In verse 1, the Bible says in chapter 3 of Jonah, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying." Aren't you glad that we have a God who is the God of a second chance? You know, the Bible tells us in the previous verse of the last verse of chapter 2 that the Lord spake unto the fish. And when we preached on that, we said, you know, God talking to the animals because Jonah wasn't listening. But now God again talks to Jonah, even though really, if you read the rest of the book, it doesn't seem like his heart ever really got totally right. But God in his grace and his mercy is willing to give Jonah a second chance. You know, I tell you what, when we look at life, all of us mess up. All of us fail maybe to accomplish the thing we should have accomplished when God told us to do it or fulfill his will the first time he said it. But God is such a God that even if you turn your back on him, if you're disobedient, if you ignore what he's trying to say to you or work in your life, God still is wanting to reach out and restore and reach out and get you to listen to him if it's the second time. And really in our own lives, it's probably not the God of the second chance, but the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance. But God comes to Jonah in spite of all his disobedience, and he speaks to him again. I'd say this, Jonah didn't deserve for God to speak to him a second time. Jonah didn't deserve for God to come to him with another message. He didn't deserve to come up out of the whale's belly or out of the belly of hell. He didn't deserve that, but God gave him another chance. And really, he didn't give Jonah just another chance for him. He gave him another chance so that somebody would have a first chance. You see, Nineveh had not heard the word of God the second time. Nineveh had never even heard the word of God the first time. And what we have a privilege to do as God's people, we have the privilege, if we'll listen to God, even though we mess it up, even though we don't accomplish what we need to, even though we fail so many times to be obedient to God, if we'll listen, God wants to continue to work in our hearts, because there are a lot of people that have never heard it the first time. And though Jonah's going to get a blessing that God has come back to restore him, he gets a second chance to serve God. A second chance to decide to follow the Lord. A second chance to be obedient. A second chance to finally humble himself. It's a better thing for Nineveh because they get the first chance to hear the Word of God. And I just want to ask you this morning, will you be willing to say, Lord, I'll listen to you that through me you might be able to get the Word of God to somebody that's never had it one time.
Amen.
We take so much for granted. We have a wonderful church, we have a wonderful Bible, we have a wonderful nation, and yet all around this world there are places that have never had one church service, never had one preacher preach to them, never had one copy of the Word of God, and it ought to be impressed upon our hearts, Lord, I want to do something with the chances and the opportunities that you've given me so someone else may get a chance that they would never have had.
Amen.
Our lives are not for us, they're for the Ninevehs of the world that God wants to use us as a vessel and a channel to pour His Word through. So Jonah obeys, and the Bible says in verse 2, God tells him to arise, go unto Nineveh. He says the same thing He told him the first time. That great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You notice, you don't bargain with God. You don't say, okay, God, I'm listening this time, but would you sort of change things for me? God doesn't do that. God has a will, and you're either in His will or you're out of His will. He doesn't change His will to match you. I was going through the airport this morning, going through security in Houston, Texas, and in front of me was the child from hell. And the mother was dragging this little girl about this big, and she was kicking and screaming, and it made the biggest commotion. And what that child wanted that mom to do was to do what she wanted her to do. She was not happy unless she was being held. And she'd put her down. They were trying, you know how you go through the airport and you got to take off stuff and put it in there and go. She didn't want to go through the screening process. She didn't want to get in line. I'm talking blood curdling, screaming out because she wanted her way. And I thought, man, I know what that kid needs. Amen. You know, isn't it amazing how the philosophy of the world is so twisted and upside down? That child couldn't have been more miserable and unhappy than what it was. But a child that would be happy and obedient walking through there, and there's a difference. You see, there's a difference in the discipline. There's a difference what it takes to make a happy child and what it takes to make a child from hell. But that child from hell just wanted his way. Now listen to me. We can look at that and say, that's awful. But you know what? If we're not careful, that's where we are. God, I want my way. I want it to be like I want it to be. I want the life I want. I want all circumstances to fit my opinions and my thoughts. But that's not the way God is. God didn't have a discussion with Jonah about what He wanted him to do. God just said, Jonah, this is what I want you to do. You didn't do it? All right, you go down in the whale's belly. All right, Jonah, again, I want you to do the same thing I told you the first time. We're not going to have a conversation about this and come to a reasonable conclusion. You just do what I want you to do, Jonah. Boy, I tell you what a wonderful day in our lives when we come to God and say, God, what will you have me to do? And Jonah will not only be blessed, but all these other people that didn't have a chance are going to get blessed. Because it's not Jonah's way, it's God's way. The Bible says in verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. But you know, just because you do what God tells you to do doesn't mean you do it with the right heart and motive. It's like, you know, you tell your kid to take out the trash. They can take out the trash all right. And they can kick the can all the way to the curb. But I took the trash out. Jonah's doing what God said, but he's still got a heart problem. Don't ever misunderstand you doing all the details of what's right versus having the heart that you're supposed to have while you're doing those details. You know, I'm in church this morning, but I'm not in church because I have to be. I'm in church because I want to be.
Amen.
I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I want to please Him and do His will. And I want to do that from my heart. I don't sing to Him because I have to, just because I'm supposed to. I don't pray, read my Bible just because it's commanded. I want to do that from my heart. I'm not involved in missions giving and putting my money in there so missionaries can be able to go to the field and preach. I don't do that because I have to. I do that because I want to, because I love the Lord and I want others to have the same opportunities.
Amen.
That I have. And Jonah, he's going, but boy, he's not smiling on the way. And as he walks in the city, the Bible said in verse 3, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. With all the suburbs and the circumference of it, it'd take you 3 days to walk all through this city. It was so big. Can you imagine how many people must have been there? And the Bible said in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. How would you like that to be the Sunday morning message? You say, well, at least it's short. it's short. I don't know if that, it looks like that's all his message.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know, I tell you this, when a preacher is really excited, a lot of times his message gets longer. And when he's just trying to get through with it, he just, you know, chops it off. Jonah walks in, he says, 40 days, then it should be overthrown. Okay, that's it. You know, God can use His Word no matter how long it is, how short it is, how straight it is, how hard it is, how harsh it is. There's no hope in that message. There's no good news in that message. There's no gospel in that message. All the message was, in 40 days, God's going to kill every one of you. He's going to destroy you. And by the way, until you can get to God's good news, you've got to hear the bad news.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, unless you can get past the part for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, you can't get to those other parts of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God and the assurance of God that God gives us through His salvation. You got to swallow that bitter pill first. Jonah preaches that short message, and you would think, who would have responded to that? I've preached long enough to know, hey, I've preached in the streets of Romania, I've preached in the streets of Greece and Paris, France, and Red Square in Moscow, Russia. I've preached all across America. I've preached in churches, and this is what I know about preaching. It's hard to get people to respond.
Yeah.
It is. We were preaching in the prison, and those guys were coming down, man. They were doing business with God, but there was a whole bunch of other ones that were still sitting there. It's hard to get people to really open their heart up to the preaching. You ever notice that? I mean, if people would really respond, even when the preaching is perfect. When Jesus Christ Himself preached on this earth, you'd have thought everybody would just flock and said, all right, we submit. We want what you've got. That's not the way it worked. So many did not respond. So many people's hearts were hard. I tell you what, it's not the prestige or the power of the speaker, and it's not the fanciness or the beautiful delivery of the words or even the content that's going to make the difference. What's going to make the difference is going to be the heart of the people that are listening to the message. Like this morning, the Word of God will only have effect in your heart. It doesn't matter how bad or good I deliver it. It doesn't matter even what all the message is. It will have no effect in your heart if your heart's not prepared and ready to receive the message. And I'm telling you, Jonah walked in this city and preached a short, curt, no hope message and finished it. And look at the next verse. The Bible tells us after he preached that message, verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh, what does it say? Wow. The people of Nineveh believed God. How could wicked people just believe God? They must have been convinced of their wickedness. They must have been convinced of the message that it was true. They must have thought, hey, this isn't the word of Jonah. This is the word of God.
Amen.
And we believe what it says. Oh, would to God that God's people would believe what it says. That we could go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are a lot of people that don't believe that we can reach the world. Don't believe that we can make a difference. But the Word of God says, some have compassion, making a difference. We can make a difference in this world. But we've got to believe God that we can do it. There are a lot of God's people that don't believe I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's a lot of God's people that can't believe God, that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know if I can trust Him enough to give Him my life and give Him my finances and give Him my family. But I tell you what, we need to take a lesson from these heathen Ninevites. If they can believe God with that message, I ought to be able to believe God with the whole book. How many times did Jesus turn to the disciples and say, oh, ye of little faith, what's it going to take for you guys to believe me? What's it going to take for you to trust me? Here are these group of people, man, they just, all right, that's the message. We believe it. We believe it. Do we really believe with God all things are possible? Do we really believe that there's nothing too hard for the Lord? Do we really believe that God can prepare a table in the wilderness? Do we really believe that God can prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies? Do we really believe that God can use me to reach my family and my neighbors? Do we really believe God can use our church to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we believe God, or do we just say, well, not sure about that. These people of Nineveh, they believe God. It sounds just like Paul when he's in the middle of the storm in Acts 27. We preached not long ago. And the ship looks like it's going down. And Paul stood up and said, hey, I believe God. I believe God that just like He said it, it's going to happen. Well, I tell you what, you know what? You can't believe what anybody else says, but you can believe God.
Amen.
You can't believe in circumstances of our lives, but you can believe God. But you know what the problem is? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. We hear the Word of God, but we don't mix faith with it, and so we don't get the benefit. God is fixing to benefit these heathen, wicked Ninevites, and it starts with the fact that they're believing what He said. They believe His message. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, God's got rest for your life, but if you won't believe the word that's preached, you'll never enter into that rest. If you won't accept the Word of God as it is in truth, His Word and not the Word of man, you can never come to the right result. The Bible said in Jonah 3:5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. I want you to see the second thing they did, though. They didn't just believe the message. It's one thing, okay, God's going to destroy everything. They went a step further beyond that. They went from faith to repentance. Look at this. Jonah 3:5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. turn. They turned from their evil way. They repented. They were sorrowful. Jonah didn't even tell them to repent. Jonah said, God's going to overthrow this city. God's bringing judgment to the city. And immediately they believed the message and they said, oh my, we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to turn from our wicked ways. That wasn't in the message, but it was in their heart. May the Lord grant unto us some old-fashioned repentance where we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've disappointed you. I'm sorry for my sin. And if a bunch of heathen people can do that, you know, we ought to be willing to do that. You know, repentance is not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for committing adultery or getting drunk or doing dope or cursing or watching something that's wicked, you know, on the screen or dressing wrong. That's not all you need to repent of. The Bible talks in the first chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, the Spirit of God's trying to talk to the churches. And you know what He says to the churches? He tells them to repent. And you know what some of those things they need to repent of? Well, the first one was because they didn't love Him like they used to love Him. You ever repented of that? Oh, God, I'm sorry. You ever cried to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry, I just don't love You like I used to love You? You know, I tell you what, that's just as wicked and wrong as any other thing in our lives. Lord, I'm sorry for my pride. I'm sorry my heart's so hard. God appreciates that. He wants that from us. I tell you, church, unless we're willing to repent, how can we expect the heathen world to repent? Lord, I'm sorry that my life is not in the will of God. I'm sorry that my heart is not where You want it to be. I'm sorry I'm not like Jesus. Cleanse me. Wash me. I'm going to spend some time looking on the inside and weeping over my sin. And Lord, I want to turn from that. I want to be a different person for You. I'd say if these heathen people can do that, we could do that this morning. Lord, I'm sorry for not being interested in souls enough. I'm sorry for not being the witness that I should be. I'm sorry, Lord, for being so proud and bitter and angry. If anything's going to happen, if anything's going to move the heart of God, it's going to be people's repentance. God never gave them a message of hope, but they said, you know what, we're going to repent anyway. We're going to tell Him we're sorry anyway. Even if He doesn't forgive us, we're going to tell Him we're sorry. Even if it doesn't cure anything, we're going to turn from the way we're living. You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people do this. They think, okay, I'll make a bargain with God and I'll start living right and then He'll start blessing me. If I you know, have some reformation in my life, then maybe some good times will come back toward me. You know, that's not the way we should approach God. We should approach God, Lord, if You never bless me again, if You don't get me out of the hole that I'm in, if You don't even get me out of the problem I am, Lord, I'm still sorry. I still want to be clean. I still want to be right. Amen. Even if there's no benefit on the other side. And I'm telling you, a repentant heart touches the heart of God and moves it. You know, probably the most wicked man in this Old Testament, one of them, is found in 1 Kings 21. Would you look at that? I mean, if you ever read about a wicked guy in the Bible, it would be Ahab. Everybody's heard of Ahab, right? You talk about a wicked man. Married to a wicked woman, Jezebel, right? They're made for each other. Wicked man, wicked woman. We couldn't even go into all their wickedness. And God got so tired of Ahab, He sent His prophet. He sent Elijah to Ahab and He said, I'm going to kill everybody in your family. Just sort of like the message the Ninevites got. You're going to die. All your posterity is going to die. I'm sick of your wickedness, God says. And when God gave that message to Ahab, look what the Bible says in 1 Kings 21:27. 1 Kings 21:27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, what? The words that God was going to judge him, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. Doesn't that sound like just what the Ninevites are doing? Verse 28. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. You see how that affected God? Ahab didn't deserve that space of mercy and grace. But because he repented and humbled himself before God, he humbled himself and God said, look at that. I tell you what, I'm just going to change my judgment just a little bit and put it in his son's days. You know what I think is fascinating about what we just read there? I think there's a problem in Elijah's heart. That's why God's also talking to him that way. God comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, look at Ahab. You see how he humbles himself? You know what was wrong with Elijah? He needed to humble himself. You know why I know that? Because God told Elijah to do three things, and he didn't do them. Study Elijah's life out. And Elijah, you know, he's all depressed and sad that Jezebel's trying to kill him and all that. And says, I'm the only one. I'm the only one trying to do right. And God said, all right, I want you to do three things. I want you to anoint two kings and anoint one prophet, Elisha. You know what Elisha does? He throws his mantle on Elisha and he just walks away. He doesn't even care. And the other two that God told him to do, to anoint, you know what he did? He did nothing about it. He disobeyed the Lord. He wasn't willing to do what God told him to do. And he was a bitter, angry prophet. And you find him up on a hill, just sitting up on a hill angry, and these people coming up to him, and he's calling down fire from heaven to kill them. And finally, one of them crawls up on his hands and knees and says, please let our soul be precious in your sight. You know why? He didn't care about their soul. Because he was a man that needed to learn the lesson that Ahab learned. Hey, I need to humble myself. And God says, Elijah, come here. Come here, my wonderful, powerful prophet. Come here. Look at his humility. You think you might need some of that, Elijah? You know, it ought to be very humbling how God's blessed us. It ought to be very humbling. Unless we think we deserve it. Right? It ought to be humbling. God, you've been better to us than anybody in the world. Thank you, Lord. It ought to be very humbling to humble ourselves to the point like the Ninevites and say, you know, Lord, we're not worthy. We're not worthy of this goodness. We're not worthy of this message. What would you have for us to do? We're willing to repent. If you would turn two little books behind Jonah to Joel, or you go Obadiah and then Amos and Joel. Look at Joel chapter 2. Repentance changes the heart of God. I recommend it to you. There are some things that will change God's heart and mind about you and I. And that's when we really genuinely repent. The Bible said in Joel chapter 2 and verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn, there it is, turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, look at it, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? He's saying this, look, you need to repent. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind about what he's doing in your life if you'll change your mind about where you are in your life. That's exactly what the king of Nineveh said. Who can tell if God might turn away? Who can tell if God might change his mind about his judgment upon us if we'll just repent? I tell you what, the only hope of America is if we'll do just that. I think the judgment's already out there. I think it's already been decreed. But who can tell? Who can tell if somebody and some people will come to God and say, Lord, we don't know if it's going to work, but we're sorry.
Amen.
We're sorry.
Amen.
That Bible tells me in the book of, I'll just read it for you, in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Exactly what he's doing to Nineveh. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Oh, what a thing. If I repent, God will repent. If I'll change my mind, God will change His mind. Do you see that in the book of Jonah? They repent, and the Bible said in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. God changed His mind. Thank God we have a unpredictable God that just might change His mind about His judgment that we deserve. Isn't that what happens with a sinner? If you're here and you're not saved, you've never been born again, you know what happens? If you'll acknowledge that you're a sinner and you'll repent of that and you'll not want that sin, but you'll want Jesus Christ and you'll believe on Him. The Bible clearly says the wages of sin is death. We're all appointed to die, and we're appointed to die, and the second death awaits every sinner. But the Bible says if we'll repent, then He'll repent. And He'll change that death sentence that's on our lives and change the way He thinks about us as sinners and receive us into His family. Our repentance, His repentance. You know what? Have you ever thought, maybe I need to humble my heart before God to change His mind about me? Maybe I need to humble myself in such a way that it'll affect His heart. Who can tell what He might do? There was a Canaanite woman that came to Jesus that had no right to come to Jesus. And she said, help, 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 Lord. And Jesus looked at her and said, I'm not come, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You don't have any right to come to me. And she said, I know that, but I'm still coming. And that so touched the heart of Jesus that He gave her what she asked, because He saw the humility in her heart. She said, I just want a crumb. Jesus said the dog, called her a dog, and she agreed with the Lord. And that so touched the heart of the Lord that He gave her what she needed, changed His mind about her. This king, he gets so serious with God. He says this, we're not going to eat. You know, I'll tell you what. When you quit eating, you're pretty serious. Isn't that right? When's the last time you got so serious with God you quit eating? And this is a heathen guy. And he says this. Look in Jonah 3. He didn't say we're just not going to eat. This guy came off the throne, the king. You see that in verse 6, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him. He came off his throne. That's what we need to do. We need to come off the throne of our lives and humble ourselves before God and realize that the Lord is more important than our necessary food even. You being right with God this morning is more important than what you had for breakfast, what you'll have for lunch, or what you'll have for supper, or if you didn't even eat all week. It's more important for your heart to be humble and right with God. And this heathen king came down. He said, we're not going to eat, but he went farther. He didn't just say that for himself. He said in verse 7, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. He said, we're not even going to drink water. He didn't even give them a choice. He said, the whole country is going to fast. And he said, I don't even want the animals to eat. I tell you what, you're pretty serious when you won't let your dog and your cat have their meal. Do you see this? You're pretty serious when you got all those cattle out there in the field you're raising, and those sheep and all those flocks. You feed those for what? Fatten them up so then you can eat, right? And the king of Nineveh said, no more feeding the cattle. I got a question for you. How can you stop cattle from eating? You ever thought about that? What did he do? Go out there and put a muzzle on all their mouths so they couldn't eat the grass? This king said, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter from the greatest to the least to even the animals. Even our pets aren't going to eat.
Amen.
You're pretty serious with God when you won't let your cat eat. He said, well, how long did he say they were going to do that? He didn't even put a time on it. You know what it looks like? It looks like we're just not going to eat until we die because we're all going to die anyway. If we don't change God's mind, we're all dead. Who cares what we have to give up if we can get God's attention?
Amen.
We need God's attention. Who cares about Fifi? Who cares about little Jojo? Who cares about the cattle out in the field? Nobody eat. I don't even want any water drank. Wow. You know what that's called? That's called serious. You know maybe why God doesn't move more? Because people aren't that serious. And God looks down from heaven at our lives and he says, you know, they're just not that serious. But he looked down at this king and he looked down at these people and he said, now they're serious. I wonder this morning, how serious are you about the Lord? How serious are you about doing what the Lord wants you to do? How serious are you about your heart and your family, the needs of your country, the needs of the world? How serious is it to you? The king said in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent? He had no idea if God would do it. But he said, we believe God. God's a God of a second chance. And God is an unpredictable God. And we don't know what he's going to do. But we're going to do what we're supposed to do. We don't know if God, what God's going to do on these mission fields. But we know what we're supposed to do. We don't know what God's going to do in our lives, in our church. But we know what we're supposed to do. You know, David said the same thing when he sinned and God struck his baby that was conceived in sin. And David prayed and prayed and prayed. And then when the baby died, he started eating again. And they asked David, they said, you know, you fasted and prayed and wouldn't eat. You were so serious. And then the baby died and now you're eating. Well, what's going on? You know what he said? He said, who can tell? That's what he said. Who can tell? I fasted and prayed before God because who could tell whether or not God would have been merciful to me and changed these circumstances and changed this judgment? And this king said, we don't know if God will spare us. We don't know what's going to happen in the end, but we're going to do what we know we need to do. And just maybe, God will change his mind. Brethren, we have a God in heaven whose heart can be touched, whose mind can be changed. But it's based upon whether or not I, in my heart, will touch His heart. And His heart will move to me because my heart's moving to Him. One day God told Moses, I'm going to kill all the children of Israel. I'm tired of them. Kill them all. And Moses said, God, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And Moses humbled himself so before God, he said, God, I tell you what, just go ahead and kill me. Don't kill them. And that so touched the heart of God. He said, I tell you what, I'll change my mind. I'll change my mind. Wouldn't it be great if God would change his mind about some of the judgment that's coming to lives and families and countries and nations and people? Because somebody humbled themselves before God. And so, Lord, I want to touch your heart because I need to I need you to change what's coming down the line in my life. Your heart can change the heart of God.